Good morning, St. Andrews, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Well, you can say it back, it's okay. It's wonderful to have you in worship today on this Festival Sunday as we come together. Of course, our theme today is giving thanks. And through giving thanks, we are able to glimpse how the kingdom of heaven has come to us already, is with us through the gifts that God gives and certainly through the people that God brings into our lives as well. And so I'm so pleased that you've come. You are welcome here, as are the children and the young people who are worshiping with us today in this all-ages service. We're so pleased that they'll be taking part in the service today. For us all, you will have received a bulletin on your way in, and that bulletin forms our guide for this service, and so you can find all the responses in bold font, as well as the hymns that we'll be singing. I should note that the bulletin, I believe, lists one of the hymns right after the reflection as hymn 475, Now Thank We All Our God. You'll note from the boards, it's actually 457. So if you put your finger in 475, shift over a few pages, and you'll be all set and ready to go to sing with us after that as well. We know that life brings highs and struggles, doesn't it? Here on this festival weekend, we are thinking of highs, of course, time with family and friends, of feasting and giving thanks. But we also meet in a world that has its struggles, too, a world that is wounded, where life does not bring us everything that we had hoped or wanted for. Some of us find ourselves in moments of grief today as well. Whether we are gathering in joy or in grief or somewhere in between, I pray that our time together today might be one where we discover God already with us. As we prepare to notice God here in our midst, I invite you to take a moment, take a deep breath, quiet yourself, perhaps even close your eyes, and take a moment to think about where God has been at work in your week this week. The Lord is with you. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make his deeds known to all the people. Sing his praises, tell of his wonderful works, and glory in his holy name. Let those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for God and for his strength. Never stop looking for him. Indeed he is. Let's respond to God's call to us by singing number 803, Come, All Thankful People, Come. Notice how it starts with gratitude for the gifts of God, like harvest and food, and then it moves to gratitude that God will bring the harvest to his home. That is, for the gifts of people. Let's discover this pattern anew as we sing together 803. Would you like to be seated? Let's come before our God in prayer together, shall we? God of life and of love, we rejoice in your abundant gifts on this Thanksgiving Sunday. God of all peoples and all places, we celebrate your generosity and your grace. God of earth and God of the heavens, we praise you for your provision. For you visit the earth and water it, softening it with showers and blessing its growth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. Ah, indeed, you are the God of life and of love. You place us in families and communities, covenantal relationships, where we can not only enjoy your gifts, but discover your nature. And so we bless you and we give thanks to you. Creator God, would you forgive our moments of ingratitude? Those times of spiritual blindness that prevent us from appreciating the wonder that is this world, the endless cycle of nature, of life and death and rebirth. The gifts that family and friends are in our lives. Would you forgive us for taking without giving, reaping without sowing? Open our eyes to see and our lips to praise, our hands to share. May our feet touch lightly on the path that we tread, and our footsteps be worthy of following. For we know that our footsteps lead to you. And as our commitment to that path, to you as our God, we pray in the words Christ taught us. Our Father, amen and amen. Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice not just because we've received good gifts, but because we've been given people, most centrally Jesus Christ. And these ones prove that God is with us and that nothing can separate us from him. Would you join me in giving thanks? Thanks be to God. So it's Thanksgiving. I don't know what it's like in your house. In my house, when we gather around the table, we take time to say thank you. Come on up, Emma. To say thank you for different things. Do you guys do that in your house? Yeah. What kinds of things might you say thankful? What might you say thank you for? Elliot? For Elliot's oatmeal. He says thank you. We're certainly grateful for all of this oatmeal. And Elliot likes it with maple and brown sugar. So he's grateful for that oatmeal too. What else are you thankful for? Anne? For family. Absolutely. I'm very grateful for that. Those that are in our lives. Someone else? Elliot? For education, that's a great thing. Yeah. Hamish, for your warm house, that's a great thing to be thankful for. Are there other things that come to mind? So tell me a little bit about the oatmeal and the education, and I think Anne was getting to my next point with the family piece there. She did a great job with that. These things just don't come to us by accident, do they? We need teachers to give us good education. We need mums and dads and grandmas and grandpas to help pay for a warm house. We need someone to make that meal. I don't remember the last time. Did you make a turkey meal? You've made a turkey meal? Good for you. You made oatmeal? Wow. Well, one of the things I wanted to give out to you that I plumb forgot about, and so if Crystal doesn't find, she did find them. Oh, so good. I am so grateful for the people in my life as well, because the gifts to us, like turkey and oatmeal and warm houses, they're just the beginning of the story. It's the people behind that those things point to. And so I wanted to give to you, these are special gifts that were given to us by a very generous member of the congregation. I'll get you to put one on your finger. Have you seen these before? You have one before? Well, then you can have another if you'd like, or you can put it back. What would you prefer? You'll take another. Exactly. All right. There you go. And how about for you, Anne? I'm going to put one on my finger, too. There you are. Now, these, I was going to show you how to put them on, because I had to be told by this generous person how to put them on and to turn them on, but it looks like you've already figured that out. So you put them on there, for those of you that don't know, and then you press down on the top. There we are, and that makes them all flashy. How does this connect with Thanksgiving? Well, just like our house doesn't come to us by accident, there were people involved in that. Just like our country isn't just the land, it's the people that make up Canada. Just like our church isn't just bricks and mortar, it's the people that make up the church. Just like all of these things, we can be reminded that it's the people God sends to us. People who let us glimpse little bits of him, little bits of his glory, of his character, of what he's like, and as they show us love, we see God at work in us. So the next time you turn this on, I'm going to invite you to say thank you, not just for Canada, but to say thank you also for the people of Canada, to say thank you for the people of this church, to say thank you for the people in your homes who, through their generosity, make the kinds of things that we're grateful for. Why don't we have a word of prayer together, and then we've got some special stuff. We're so glad that you guys are in worship with us today. We've got some special stuff. Where did I see it? There we are. Thank you, Diane. I'm so grateful for the people in my life.
We've got some special kids' bulletins and young people's bulletins here and some writing utensils, and you can pick those up and then head back to where you're sitting, okay? But why don't we stand and have a word of prayer together first? Would you like to stand, congregation? Would you like to stand as well? And let's pray together, shall we? Dear God, thank you for rings, for food, for houses and education. Dear God, thank you for teachers and parents and church friends and generous donors. We ask that we might see you more in all of these things. For Christ's sake. Amen. All right. Why don't you guys pick up your stuff there, and then you can head back. All right. Good to see you, Isaac. We are very grateful for all of the oatmeal that's been collected today. Just a reminder, if you had oatmeal that didn't make it here today, we're going to extend it for one more week, as is in the bulletin, and so you can get it in here, and we will make sure that it gets off to our place. And all of this oatmeal goes to feed the hungry and the needy who are over at our place and gathering there every day for breakfast. They can enjoy hot oatmeal because of your generosity. Thank you. When we come together, it's to study God's Word. It's to allow the living Christ to speak to us and to be revealed in new ways. We've talked about how that happens a little bit with the kids. One of the ways we Reformed Christians understand that happening is through His Holy Word. But we need help with this. Our own wisdom is not enough, and so we ask for God's help through a prayer for illumination. Would you pray with me? Generous and gracious God, we do give you thanks for the people who are in our lives and for the gifts that you give to us through them. Generous and loving God, we do give you thanks that you show us glimpses of your character through these ones. And we give you thanks that you have shown your character, your likeness, most clearly through Jesus our Christ. And so as we gather around the Bible now, we pray that the living Word might be revealed to us by your Spirit, that you would teach us more about how it is you work in the world and what it means to be your followers. For we ask these things in the name of our rabbi, our teacher, the one you have sent us, Jesus Christ. And together we say.
The readings today are taken both from the New Testament. And the first one is Matthew 21, verses 33 to 46. And you'll find that in the Pew Bible on page 24. Parable of the Wicked Tenants. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time came, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves and beat one, killing another, and stoning another. Again, he sent other slaves, more than the first, and they treated them the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, when the landowner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to another tenant, to other tenants, who will give him the produce at the harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to the people that produce the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The next reading is from Philippians 2:19-30, and it's on page 197. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth you know. How like a son with a father he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. Still, I think it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you of all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. He was indeed so ill that he nearly died. But God has mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me also, so that I would not have one sorrow after another. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, in order that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. Welcome him then in the Lord with all joy, and honor such people, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Laura. There's this ongoing joke when we're asking people to read, please don't give me a genealogy or something with long names in it. I think she handled Epaphroditus brilliantly, didn't she? Thank you, Laura, very much for that. What's going on in these texts? In the Matthew text, especially, is a story, as Laura mentioned, that appears in other places as well. There's a bunch of people who are tenants on the land, and they don't know what they've got. They don't see what's right in front of them. And that can happen for us, too, can't it? The story goes that Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson go camping. And after a good meal and a bottle of wine, they lay down for the night and fall asleep. Some hours later, Holmes wakes up and nudges his faithful friend. Watson, Watson, get up. Look at the sky. Tell me what you see. Watson replies, I see millions and millions of stars. Yes, says Holmes, and what does that tell you? So Watson ponders for a minute. Says, well, astronomically it tells me that there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, I see that Saturn is in Leo. Horologically, I deduce that the time is about 3:15. Theologically, I see that God is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, I suspect we will have a beautiful day tomorrow. Watson pauses there and looks over at his friend who's quietly observing the same sky. And tell me, Holmes, what does it tell you? Holmes looks over at his friend and says, it tells me that some thief has stolen our tent. Sometimes we miss what's right in front of us, don't we? And perhaps that's why holidays like Thanksgiving are so important, because they are a reminder of what we need to be doing every day of the year and at multiple times through every day. When we give thanks, we begin to observe how heaven has broken into earth. We take notice of God working in our life. My wife and I are reading one of Anne Voskamp's great books on gratitude, where she makes this point over and again. Giving thanks is noticing the light of heaven breaking into life on earth. So when we gather around those tables stuffed with food, the great feasts of turkey, ham, sweet potato, and mashed veggies, and of course, pumpkin pie. We're seeing heaven break into earth. I heard that Tupperware has developed a new line of merchandise for Thanksgiving. The containers not only burp themselves, they also loosen their belts and fall asleep in front of the TV. Yeah, we need to give thanks, don't we? Because when we give thanks, we see heaven having broken in to earth. But if we stop at giving thanks for the food, we will have missed how heaven has broken into earth. We will have missed the most profound part of the Thanksgiving lesson.
And that's what Philippians is getting at in today's reading. Now we know, we've talked about how the entire letter of Philippians is in fact a thank you card. Paul has received a generous gift because he's in prison and he needs support. And the Philippians have gathered up what they can and they've sent it off with Epaphroditus to go and to give this gift to Paul for his support while he's in prison. And so he writes this letter in gratitude to them to say thank you, just the way that we might pause before a Thanksgiving feast and recite the things that we're thankful for. But he wants, at this portion, he wants his dear Philippians to know that he considers the gift secondary to what's right in front of him. The people that are in his company and the ones that are in the Philippians' lives as well. In this passage, he mentions two by name. The first he mentions is Timothy. Now, from other portions of the scriptures, we know that Timothy has a bit of a reputation for being pretty soft-spoken. He has a gentle spirit. And for this, Paul seems to praise him up. He calls him a son. He has worked with him for months, years, we don't know how long, but he has apprenticed him the way that fathers apprentice sons in many parts of the world still today. And so he wants to send this gift, Timothy, to the Philippians. Timothy has conveyed heaven to Paul, or glimpses of, and he's confident that Timothy will convey the same to the Philippians. Why? Well, look at verse 21. Because there were so many in the Philippian church, as there were in churches around the world and continue to be, there were so many who were seeking their own agenda. And so Paul was confident that when Timothy went, he would seek the well-being of the Philippians. Paul is confident about this because he's worked with Timothy. He knows what a gift Timothy is in his life. And so he sends him to be a gift in the Philippians' life as well. What Timothy does for the Philippians, what Timothy did for Paul, is what gratitude does for us. It helps us to look past our own agendas and ideas, past all of the difficulties going on, to notice where the shafts of light have broken through the clouds, where heaven has broken onto earth, where God is with us. Mike McAdams tells the story of visiting his wife in critical care. And as he's exiting, another anxious friend is on his way in and says, "Mike, how's it going?" Mike said, "It's touch and go." "She recognized me," he said. "We prayed together and we held hands. And then we quoted that passage about Thanksgiving. You know, the one in James where it says, 'Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds.'" And then Mike told his friend, "You know, it's impossible to be anxious and thankful at the same time." What Timothy did for Paul and for the Philippians is what gratitude can do for us in pointing us back to see where God is at work in our lives. So that's why he's sending Timothy there. Who's in our life to point us to the light that has broken through? Who in your life points you to Jesus Christ? Well, then Paul goes on. He's not just going to send Timothy, he's also going to send Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, as I mentioned, was the one who had brought the gift from the Philippians to Paul. And then what Paul is telling us is while he was staying in Ephesus or with Paul, he got sick. In fact, he got so sick he was close to death. But God helped him to recover. Paul says this wasn't just God's mercy on Epaphroditus. Listen to what he says. It was God's mercy on Paul too, because he couldn't stand to lose someone dear to him. Epaphroditus had become a gift to Paul. And so when God healed Epaphroditus, Paul rejoiced. But now Epaphroditus is concerned because those who had been a gift in his life, the Philippians, don't know. They've heard perhaps that he's better, but they don't know that he's better in the way that we humans need to know things kind of experientially, physically. I remember talking to a mom a number of months ago whose family were all back east, and she was talking about the next holiday coming up. I think it was Easter at that point. And she said, you know, I just want to know that my son's okay. Oh, I talk to him on the phone, but I would love to just see him and touch him and smell him. I'd just love to know that he's there with me. Can you understand what that mom's talking about? That's what Epaphroditus wanted for the Philippians, because he understood that the gift was secondary to the presence that he had with the Philippians and that the Philippians had with him. And so Paul says willingly, I need to send him back to you. He has been a gift to me. Now let me send him back to you so that he can be a gift to you too. Is it any wonder that when we're looking at the gifts that God gives to us, we can't look at them too long before we begin to look at the people who brought those gifts, who were the means of gifts to us. In seminary, they talk about the Church of Jesus Christ as a sacrament, the way that we understand bread and wine. And they say that you and I are, in fact, that living presence of God here on earth, conveying the light of grace to the people in our lives, helping them to see Jesus Christ right there with them. So it shouldn't surprise us that when we give thanks for things like salvation or rejuvenation, for new beginnings, for rich memories, we can't do it without talking about people. We can't do it without talking about Jesus Christ. It shouldn't surprise us that when God wanted to show us his love, he didn't simply write a tablet and mail it to us. He didn't send us an email or a text. He didn't give us teachings or doctrines. He sent us people. He sent us Jesus, because people are the conveyors of the grace of God. And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us that God does that still, through Timothy, through Epaphroditus, through you, through me. When we gather at an end-of-life service, as many of us will do towards the end of this week, we will talk about the things this person has done. We tell the details of their story, where they were born, the thing that they did for a living. But in my experience, it never takes very long before we move from those gifts that that person has given to us, the details of their life, to the essentials of who they are as a person. Especially if the person has lived a good life, this happens smoothly and easily without even trying. Our remembering goes to the kind of person they are. Oh yeah, they were quirky, but they were kind. Oh, they were stubborn, but they were generous. They were gentle, but they were firm. And before long, all of those gifts and details become secondary to the person that God has given to us. We're acknowledging that the person was greater than the gifts. That's what Paul is doing in the passage that we've heard today. You know, we don't need to wait until a death happens to notice the gift that others are to us. But it's a good reminder. We don't need even to wait until a Thanksgiving feast to remember who it was that prepared the meal, or who it was that teaches our children, or who it is that takes care of us when we're sick, or the doctors and the nurses in the hospital, or the police and the fire people who keep us safe. What would it be like to recite gratitude for the people in our lives, to make a regular habit of just looking around us and saying, thank you, Lord, for that one. Thank you, Lord, for this one. I was reading some Thomas Merton this week. He's a monk from the 1950s and 60s. Has helped many people, myself included, think about things in more holistic terms. He says he had this enlightenment as he stood on a street corner in a downtown urban center, when people walking all about him, he began to see them as conveyors of God's grace. And he began to give thanks that he could see this person, even if he didn't know their name. Perhaps we can't start there. Perhaps I don't have a spirituality as deep as Thomas Merton's, but I can start with giving thanks for my children and for my wife, for you all. I can start by giving thanks for the people I get to meet in the course of my work, for the people that are outside the doors of this place, for how it is those who are downcast teach us about Jesus Christ, for how it is those that have means teach us about generosity. I can give thanks for people, and in giving thanks, I am noticing where the light of heaven has broken into earth. So maybe That's what we should be doing at Thanksgiving and all year long. Whether we're feasting or we're hungry, whether we're opening gifts or whether we find ourselves wanting something more. May our hearts not miss what's right in front of us. May we remember that it's really all about the people God has brought to us. And then let's give thanks for them, for they are the clearest lens of God's kindness. When we give thanks for them, we notice where God has broken through heaven and come to earth. Amen. As we reflect on the word today, I invite you to sing number 457. I had to double check that number. Now thank we all our God. Notice in this hymn how we move from verse 1, where it's who from our mother's arms. And then we go to a lot of relationship language about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in order to talk about God. This entire hymn is talking about relationships in the terms of the gifts that we receive. So shall we sing together, number 457, Now Thank We All Our God. Would you like to be seated? We were at a student-teacher conference a couple of weeks ago, and we met with the phys ed instructors as well, and one of them was telling us about how sports is really about learning about life and how to be the people who understand that God is with us. I was surprised to hear it. I'd never heard it put like that, and it made sense then as I read about some of the developing world's issues. It's no wonder that a major obstacle in many of these developing and vulnerable countries is that too many women and girls are hindered by discrimination and inequality. For example, Fahima, who, because she's a girl, is not allowed to play sports, or was not allowed to play sports in the generally male-dominated culture in Afghanistan. But she had a talent for cricket, and so she wasn't able to experience the fulfillment that comes to many of us, the lessons that we learn through engaging in these activities. She wanted a chance to play. So thankfully, Presbyterian World Service and Development has a girls' education program that equips schools with sports equipment and leads awareness-raising sessions on the benefits of physical education for students' cognitive and social development and for their growth in faith. Fahima's school is participating in the program and now has sessions dedicated for girls to play sports. As a young athlete, she couldn't be more thrilled. She says, the school made a cricket team and I was selected as captain. I'm going to lead my team to victory. Fahima is learning about leadership, social skills, and having fun because of the generosity of people like you and me. Thank you. We're going to invite the ushers to come in just a moment and give God's his tithes and our offerings so that the work that happens with Fahima and many others might continue around the world. Let's pray that these would be dedicated to his purposes now, shall we? Indeed, we do give you thanks, most holy and generous God, for you have given to us the means by which we might make a difference in the world. We are the conveyors of grace, those through whom the light of God most clearly shines. And so we pray that as the school sponsored by Presbyterian dollars does this for Fahima and her teammates, so the dollars that we collect here might do this for people outside these walls, for the breakfast coming up on this Saturday, and for many others, Lord, through the ministries of St. Andrew's and our partners. We ask that your love might be known, the light might be seen, for Christ's sake. Amen. Would you pray with me? Creator, Christ, Comforter, we find you disturbing sometimes. Your generosity of grace knows no bounds and can make us uncomfortable. It is unfathomable in depth, immeasurable in breadth. And in your lavish love, we are tempted to simply turn away from you, to simply pretend it's not true, to say it can't be. And so you disturb us and provoke us and challenge us to do the same, to offer our resources the way you have, our gifts and our passions in the fulfillment of your kingdom on the earth, to make our relationships right, to feed the hungry, to resist evil, to stand for justice and work for dignity for all. And so we begin our prayers of thanksgiving and intercession, giving thanks for you and praying that you would soften our hearts to be more like you. Open us wider to serve you with energy and imagination. But Lord, when we are surrounded by the brokenness of this world, we sometimes find it difficult to do. And so in these moments, we come to you with those things close to our heart. We are aware of the brokenness and woundedness we feel as we grieve lives that have ended too soon, like our friend Kelly Shand, and as we grieve the horrific events that have taken place in Las Vegas and Edmonton. We pray now for those who are suffering from illness of all kinds. We think especially of Louise Turner. We pray now for the concerns that simmer in our hearts. We pray now for the prayers which we struggle to put into words. We pray these things in humility and in thanksgiving, knowing that you not only hear, but you welcome us to bring these to you. That you not only welcome us, but you act on our behalf, that you not only act on our behalf, but you assure us that even when the results are not what we'd hoped for, they will be good, for you are good. We have seen this most clearly in Jesus Christ, our brother, our teacher, our redeemer. And so we say these prayers in his name and for his sake. And together we say, Amen. Friends, we will be meeting back here next Saturday, and those of you that are able to be with us are most welcome. We're going to have a service to celebrate the life of Kelly Shand and to remember the hope that we share as believers in Jesus Christ. That service will begin at 2:30 with a reception immediately following. There will also be a brief interment service taking place on Wednesday at 2:30. So that's this coming Wednesday at the Hatley Gardens in Colwood, and you're welcome to attend there as well. Also, don't forget that the bazaar is coming up fast. This is one of the ways that we experience community most keenly here at St. Andrew's as we cooperate together. What a beautiful image of the Church of Jesus Christ to come together for the sake of a goal. And so the bazaar is one great opportunity to do that. There's lots of needs there. The information is in your bulletin, cookies and squares for the baking table and the tea garden. If you can help out with that, speak with David, who's up in the gallery, and we'll be down in the coffee time in just a few moments. And I also need to say thank you to everyone who has been a part of the review yesterday. If you didn't get a chance to have your thoughts and your heart be heard, you will get a chance to do that in the months to come as well. The presbytery team is with us for the next 4 months, and so there will be more opportunities. But I wanted to offer my thanks to you and for everyone who participated and is participating in that process. Is there anything that I've missed that I should be emphasizing? All right. Well, let's prepare ourselves then to go into the world, shall we? And as we go, let's sing together 324, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The gifts and good people God has brought into our lives, we've mentioned, are proof positive that God is faithful. So in those moments when we wonder why things happen, we can still give thanks and rest in arms larger than ours. Shall we sing together 324, Great is Thy Faithfulness? Now let us go, giving thanks wherever and whenever we can for the gifts that have been given to us, for those who give them, and for how these point us to the great giver of all. And as we live lives of gratitude, we will indeed glimpse the living Christ right there with us, the one who walks on wounded feet, walking with us on the road, the one who loves with a wounded heart, teaching us to love, the one who serves with wounded hands, stretching out our hands to serve. Beloved, from gratitude, we will see the face of Christ in everyone we meet, and everyone we meet might see the face of Christ in us.